As soon as Father got them both onto his citizen's access, they began testing the waters. They stayed away from the nets that required use of a real name. That wasn't hard, because real names only had to do with money. They didn't need money, they needed respect, and that they could earn. With false names on the right nets, they could be anybody. Old men, middle-aged women, anybody, as long as they were careful about the way they wrote. All that anyone would see were their words, their ideas. Every citizen started equal on the nets. They used throwaway names with their early efforts. Not the identities that Peter planned to make famous and influential. Of course, they were not invited to take part in the great national and international political forums. They could only be audiences there until they were invited or elected to take part. But they signed on and watched, reading some of the essays published by the great names, witnessing the debates that played across their desks. And in the lesser conferences, where common people commented about the great debates, they began to insert their comments. At first, Peter insisted that they be deliberately inflammatory. "We can't learn how our style of writing is working unless we get responses, and if we're bland, no one will answer." They were not bland, and people answered. The responses that got posted on the public nets were vinegar. The responses that were sent as mail for Peter and Valentine to read privately were poisonous. But they did learn what attributes of their writing were seized upon as childish and immature, and they got better. When Peter was satisfied that they knew how to sound adult, he killed the old identities, and they began to prepare to attract real attention. "We have to seem completely separate. We'll write about different things at different times. We'll never refer to each other. You'll mostly work on the West Coast nets, and I'll mostly work in the South. Regional issues, too, so do your homework." They did their homework. Mother and father worried sometimes, with Peter and Valentine constantly together, their desks tucked under their arms. But they couldn't complain. Their grades were good, and Valentine was such a good influence on Peter. She had changed his whole attitude toward everything. And Peter and Valentine sat together in the woods, in good weather, and in pocket restaurants and indoor parks when it rained. And they composed their political commentaries. Peter carefully designed both characters so that neither one had all of his ideas. There were even some spare identities that they used to drop in third-party opinions. "Let both of them find a following as they can," said Peter. Once, tired of writing and rewriting until Peter was satisfied, Val despaired and said, "Write it yourself, then." "I can't," he answered. "They can't both sound alike, ever. You forget that someday we'll be famous enough that somebody will start running analyses. We'll have to come up as different people every time." So she wrote on. Her main identity on the nets was Demosthenes. Peter chose the name. He called himself Locke. They were obvious pseudonyms, but that was part of the plan. "With any luck, they'll start trying to guess who we are. If we get famous enough, the government can always get access and find out who we really are. When that happens, we'll be too entrenched to suffer much loss. People might be shocked that Demosthenes and Locke are two kids, but they'll already be used to listening to us." They began composing debates for their characters. Valentine would prepare an opening statement, and Peter would invent a throwaway name to answer her. His answer would be intelligent, and the debate would be lively, lots of clever invective and good political rhetoric. Valentine had a knack for alliteration that made her phrases memorable. Then they would enter the debate into the network, separated by a reasonable amount of time, as if they were actually making them up on the spot. Sometimes a few other netters would interpose comments, but Peter and Val would usually ignore them or change their own comments only slightly to accommodate what had been said. Peter took careful note of all their most memorable phrases, and then did searches from time to time to find those phrases cropping up in other places. Not all of them did, but most of them were repeated here and there, and some of them even showed up in the major debates on the prestige nets. "We're being read," Peter said. "The ideas are seeping out." "The phrases, anyway. That's just a measure. Look, we're having some influence. Nobody quotes us by name yet, but they're discussing the points we raise. We're helping set the agenda. We're getting there. Should we try to get into the main debates? No, we'll wait until they ask us. They'd been doing it only 7 months when one of the West Coast Nets sent Demosthenes a message, an offer for a weekly column in a pretty good news set. I can't do a weekly column, Valentine said. I don't even have a monthly period yet. The two aren't related, Peter said. They are to me. I'm still a kid. Tell them yes. But since you prefer not to have your true identity revealed, you want them to pay you a network time, a new access code through their corporate identity. So when the government traces me, you'll just be a person who can sign on through CalNet. Father's Citizens Access doesn't get involved. What I can't figure out is why they wanted Demosthenes before Locke. Talent rises to the top.